attacking the siege around the city because they had no food. So they made a very simple chesed with these four people. They said that if we hang around and don't do anything, so we're for sure going to die in starvation. But we're not going to die today. We'll die in a couple of days, a couple of weeks from now. Whereas if we risk it, we go out to greet the enemy, so they may kill us right away. So then we'll die right away. Or they may survive. Maybe we'll save our lives. So that was a classic scenario of putting yourself at a significant risk. I don't know what the numbers were, 30%, 50%, whatever the numbers were, but they may end up dying right away. On the other hand, they may have a Yeshua, they may end up living significantly. So the Gemara says, commenting on the Pesukim, that it was permissible for them to do this. They were permitted to go out. Taka had a good end, had a nice ending to the story. They Taka went out to Machar Aram, they Taka survived. They got rich also, but that's leaving out the details right now. But they went out to Machar Aram, they risked their lives, and we derive from here that one is in fact permitted to do so. So that's the halacha. So it's based on the story of this Gemara of Arizara that the Poskim have pointed out that you have these shadows very often. So a person has a serious medical condition, but the doctors say if you don't do anything, you're going to die in the next 6 months. But if you have this very, very risky surgery, so then there's a chance you may die on the operating table. On the other hand, there's a chance you may live for another 20 years. So the halacha is what is permitted to do that. That's what's called Chai Shoah versus Chai Olam. Now the terms Chai Shoah and Chai Olam are very tough terms because nothing is Chai Olam except for Torah and nothing is Chai Olam. So a person's going to live, no one's going to live Liolam Void. So where do you draw the line? What's called Chai Olam? What's called Chai Shoah? That's a tough question. But if you have something that meets this criteria of Chai Olam and Chai Shoah, then one is permitted to do so. The Maisha points out in the Tshuva that it doesn't mean one is mechuyev to do so. Let's say a person takes the attitude, listen, I don't want to, you know, I'm already 85 years old, I don't want to risk dying on the table, I'd rather have another 6 months of living benachas, and so be it. So the Maisha writes, you're not mechuyev to, you can't tell a guy you're mechuyev to go take this risky surgery. When the Gemara says that Chai Shoah is doicha, that the potential of Chai Olam is doicha Chai Shoah, that means you have a right to do that. It's not considered to be a violation of risking your life unnecessarily. But to say that you're mechuyev to do it, Rav Moshe says lo shemana devazeh me'olam. That's what we tell people when you have these kinds of shailas, is that it's basically the patient's choice. If the patient wants to take these risky procedures to potentially live for long, he's permitted to do so. If he doesn't want to, then he's not obligated to do so. I thought we would just finish up with one last topic, since we spent a lot of time talking about in Yom of Chaim and Maves. So I thought we'd just move on a little bit to the next world in terms of Chaim and Maves. Talk just the next 20 minutes or so about some of the halachic ramifications of Tchiyas HaMeisim. Not that we're planning on doing that on our own here, but I thought just some important, interesting sugyas that come up relating to the next type of life in this next stage of our being. The Gemara at the end of Maseches Nida quotes a Machlekes Amaroim, a very strange Machlekes, about the following shaila. The person dies and we want to bury him, we're going to bury him in Tachrichim, and the only Tachrichim we have around happen to be Shatnez. Are we permitted to bury a person in Tachrichim of Shatnez or not? So the Gemara quotes one opinion that says that no, you're not allowed to bury him in Shatnez. The other day says that you are allowed to bury him in Shatnez. So what's the issue? What's the Machlekes? So the Gemara explains the Machlekes revolves around the following shaila, where the mitzvahs of Betelus Lassad Lavo or Ein mitzvahs Betelus Lassad Lavo. A mitzvah is going to be performed in the next existence, next world, or a mitzvah is not going to be performed in the next world. So what does that mean? What in the world do the words mean? So Tosfos understands the Gemara Kipshuta. Tosfos says what the Gemara means is like this. Kol's ba'al, the guy is dead, so then there's no question he's not obligated in mitzvahs. So there's nothing wrong with dressing him up in shatnez. Kol's ba'al, that he's dead, he's not obligated in lavim either. However, soon, Meira, there's going to be Tchias HaMeisim. So now in 20 minutes from now, there's going to be Tchias HaMeisim, so the guy's going to jump up, and the Gemara says in Masechet Sanhedrin, that Asidim Tzadikim Lama Bilvushayim, people are going to come back from the dead, all dressed up the same way they were buried. So a person's going to jump up, and the first thing he's going to have to do is go get undressed, and go take off his shatnez suit, he's going to check his shatnez label, and he's going to have to get off his tachrichim. So that's going to be a terrible thing, and we marshal the guy, Liyasa Lavo, in wearing shatnez. So therefore, one day in the Gemara says, you shouldn't bury him in shatnez in the first place. That's one opinion in the Gemara. The other day, the Gemara says, no, that's not a problem. Mitzvah's potatoes lesson level, that he's not going to have to worry about the shatnez lesson level. The mitzvahs aren't going to be observed in the next existence. And the Tchias HaMeisim. So therefore, there's nothing wrong with having him wear the shatnez right now. That's where the Gemara presents the sugya. So the question is, what exactly does this mean? What exactly is the machlokes is all about? And in fact, the way it comes out of the sugya, we paskin that in fact it's permissible. Shulchan Aruch says you're permitted to bury a person with tachrichim of shatnez. So it sounds like we paskin the takadat ledin that mitzvahs betelos aren't betelos liyasad lavo. So what is the hagadar? What's the nature of this halacha that mitzvahs aren't going to apply bisman tchias HaMeisim? So Rabbi Chana Wasserman raises the following shaila. One can understand this din in one of two ways. Either one can understand it that this is a din klali about all of Zman Tchias HaMeisim. Tchias HaMeisim is really the next world. This world is for Kiyum HaMitzvos, and the next world is for reward for Mitzvos. As Rashi quotes at the end of Parashas Veschanan, So there are two halachas that are munach in that jerash of hayom laselsam l'mocha l'kabel scharam. So number one is that schar mitzvah by amaleika, that there's no real schar for mitzvahs in this world. Any schar that a person gets in this world for mitzvahs, that's like the Rambam writes in the Cheshuva, is just an incentive to continue to do more mitzvahs. The Rambam raises the question, if we believe that schar mitzvah by amaleika, so what do we say in Parshas Vayom Shemo? We say, what are we talking about? If the ultimate schar is in the next world, so the Rambam writes that that's not the schar of mitzvahs, that just enables a person to continue. If a person doesn't have rain, a person doesn't have food, doesn't have his animals, aren't prospering, so he's going to be poor, he's not going to be able to survive, he won't be able to do mitzvahs. But all the physical rewards that are promised in the Torah are not b'teres schar, they're just b'teres incentive to continue doing more mitzvahs. So that's all learned out from this pasuk, hayayim la'aselsum l'machal l'kabel scharam. But there's a second din that's learned out, the second reality that's learned out from this drasha, of hayayim la'aselsum l'machal l'kabel scharam, that the mitzvahs are supposed to be performed in this world, and in the next existence, in the next world, there's no mitzvahs. So that's what one side of Rabbi Chanan is. That's what the Gemara means, that you're allowed to bury a guy in Kilayim, you're allowed to bury a guy in Shatnez, because when he comes back from the dead, the Achat Chiyas HaMeisim, it's not going to be a problem, because that's going to be a tkuf of Chiyas HaMeisim, it's not Chiyas HaMeisim, there's no Shemiras HaMitzvahs. That's one way of understanding this halacha. Then Rabbi Chanan suggests, maybe there's a second way of understanding the halacha. Maybe what the Gemara means is as follows, that in order to be chayv in mitzvahs, a person has to have a mechayev. Okay, a person is born Jewish, so being born Jewish starts the ball rolling in terms of being chayv in mitzvahs. If you turn by mitzvah, then your mom should become chayv in mitzvahs. But it's understood you have to be born Jewish in order to be chayv in mitzvahs. When a person comes back for tchias ha-meisim, so then they're not going to be born. So they're just going to come back again. They're going to come poof from the dirt. So that's not considered to be a leida. They're not considered to be endowed with kedushas Yisrael in the sense of a chiyuv mitzvahs. So there's not shayach to speak about mitzvahs for a person who after he came back some tchias ha-meisim. So to put it in brisket terminology, it's not the zman that's the poter. It's not that the tkufa of the zman of tchias ha-meisim is a poter for mitzvahs. But rather, you as a gavra are not chayiv in mitzvahs because there was never a mechayiv. There was nothing that was re-mechayiv you. My nafkamina, whether you say that there's not a tchias ha-meisim is part of a mitzvahs, or whether you say that a gavra comes back from the dead is part of a mitzvahs, so chapa nafkamina the following. Let's say you have a guy who experiences tchias ha-meisim in this world. So we know there are a lot of people who had experienced tchias ha-meisim. We read in Sefer Melachim that Eliyahu HaNavi brought back somebody to life. Elisha brought somebody back then. Elisha, if he died, if his bones touched somebody, came back to life. A lot of people have experienced tchias ha-meisim. So what would the din be about these kinds of people? If a person died and then comes back to life, is he chayv in mitzvahs or not? So what's the din? So if you hold the first side of Rabbi Chanan, that once a person comes back, once a person dies, that's not a poter in and of itself. It's only the zman of tchias ha-meisim. It's the tkuf of Olam Haba. It's the tkuf of the next world of tchias ha-meisim. That's a poter for mitzvahs. So then all these guys, Eliyahu's kids and Elisha's kids and all these guys would be chayv in mitzvahs. But if you hold that, the second side of Rabbi Chanan, that it's the gavris pot, that once a person dies, so misa is a poter, it's a mafkiya from a chiyuv mitzvahs, and then a new chiyuv mitzvahs never kicked in because he wasn't born again Jewish, so he never experienced the new kedushas Yisrael, so then he remains b'pturo, so then it would turn out that if you have a person, let's say the Ben HaShunamis, or the Ben HaTzarfatis, or Eliyahu and Elisha brought back to life, so when they died, they became dead. That's usually what happens if they die, you become dead, you become part of a mitzvah, and then when you come back to life, so then there's no new mechayev in mitzvahs. So that would happen, interesting, nafkamina ladina. It would be a nafkamina ladina kid. Such a person be motzio, new shalom. Can the banish or not, must the banish the father? Can they make kiddush for you? Can they read the Megillah for you? Can they blow shofar for you? Are they considered to be chayev in mitzvahs or not? So some wanted to suggest a rather, is that a rather ridiculous equation. I wanted to say as follows, and we spoke a little bit about earlier on last week, we spoke about what exactly is the definition of death in halacha. So we spoke about, according to many poskim, it's the irreversible cessation of breathing. That's according to some, and according to others, when the heart stops. So what if you have the following? Let's say you have a guy who's on a heart-lung machine. The guy is undergoing open heart surgery. So they stop his heart, they stop his lungs. So one can argue, maybe he's dead at that point. So if he's dead at that point, then they hook him up to the machine, they start him up again, and then 10 hours later, they finish the surgery, they restart his heart, and restart his lungs again. So maybe you can argue that for 10 hours he was dead, and now he had a tchias ha-meisim. So my nafkamina that he had a tchias ha-meisim, so now he's not chayv in mitzvahs anymore. So I remember there used to be a fellow in yeshiva who used to kid about this. He said he would always tell his father that his father had undergone open heart surgery, so he said his father can't be motzi in kiddush anymore, because his father, Apidin, is dead, and therefore he's not chayv in mitzvahs. So the kid was a little bit cuckoo who had this chesed. It's usually assumed that that's not the halacha. The reason being, like we said, when we learned the halachas and brain death, so we mentioned that the issue of whether breathing is considered to be the end of life, according to those, or those who say that cardiac death is considered to be the end of life, that means something which is irreversible. It means the guy stops breathing. The guy's underwater holding his breath for 20 seconds. So he's dead. Up yalacha. Now he's tummy. Now he comes back. He's part of it. It's a good way to get out of night seder when they want to know why you didn't come to Shachas next morning. They say, Alpi Din, you were dead because you were holding your breath for 20 minutes. So that doesn't work. I believe what you're asking, that won't work. We hope not. Okay. A rooster maybe, but that's not going to work. But clearly that this kind of a story that the person is just put on hold, that they put his lungs on hold, they put his heart on hold, that doesn't create death in halacha. But the person who really died and then the Maisa came back to Yisamaisim, so one could argue such a person is potter from mitzvahs, and in Echidam such a person would not be able to be motzi you in a mitzvah. There's a very, very strange Gemara in Sefer Ksubis. It's one of these Hasidish Gemaras, where the Gemara tells the story about how Rabbi Danasi, after he died, would come back every Friday night. For the first couple of months after he died, he would come back on Friday night, he would make Kiddush for his family. So there were very strange Gemaras. So there are two different ways how to read that Gemara. So Hasidim read the Gemara one way, and Bisnagdim read the Gemara another way. So Hasidim read the Gemara and they say, oh wow, this is unbelievable. What a spotless, what a gavaldic excitement that Rabbi Danasi is coming back. The Eilim Asal Yain and Tidal Basat Chayim is gavaldic meridic. And the Bisnagdim read the Gemara and they have a shayla. How could Rabbi Danasi be motzi his wife in Kiddush? Because he's an Eidim Mechuyim Adavar. Because once he's dead, he's potter min HaMitzvah. So, you know, different ways. It's like the Gemara in Sukkah about the Oifa Pereach, when the Gemara says that Yenis ben Ozio, when he was learning, so the bird would fly over him, and every time the bird would fly over, the bird would get burnt up. So the Hasidim read the Gemara and say, wow, it's unbelievable, what a koyach Yenis ben Ozio had, an unbelievable kedusha v'tara. And the Misnagdim read the Gemara and have a discussion, is he chayv b'taras adam amazik, or is it grom b'nezikin? So again, different people have different takes on sugars and shas. Anyway, getting back to this story. So we have a machlokes in the Gemara whether you're allowed to bury the person in tachrichim shel shatnez, and the Gemara says an afkamin is going to be whether the mitzvah of betelus is lava or not. So Rabbi Chodim suggests that there are two ways to limp shat on this man the yom and mitzvah of betelus. Either it means because of the tkuf of tchias avesim is a poter because ayom asoisim lemochu kap svarim, or the gavra is poter because once the person dies he becomes mufke for mitzvah, so then he doesn't become chayv again. An afkamin being the guy who has tchias avesim before the next before the real period of tchias avesim. The Rashba in Maseches Nida and this Gemara suggests that this whole interpretation of Tosfos, this whole wild interpretation about Tchias HaMeisim, is not the correct shot in the Gemara. The Rashba suggests what the Gemara really means is as follows, that the Gemara is not being down upon whether the person is going to be chayv in mitzvahs when he comes back in the next world. Of course he's going to be chayv in mitzvahs. Just because he dies, that's not going to be possible when he comes back to Tchias HaMeisim. About the mitzvahs are going to be no ghost to the after Tchias HaMeisim. Says the Rashba, what the Gemara is discussing is as follows, at the time that he's dead, is he chayv in mitzvahs or not? So that's when the Gemara uses the lashon mitzvahs betelus le'asod lavo. The Rashba says the asod lavo doesn't mean asod lavo like yimelsa mashiach like tchias hameisim. The asod lavo means in the future. The future means at the time when he's dead. So is the meis chayv in mitzvahs or not? So one day the Gemara says that the meis is chayv in mitzvahs, and therefore you can't bury him with tachrichim of shatnez. And the other day the Gemara says that the meis is not chayv in mitzvahs, therefore you can bury him in the tachrichim of shatnez. But is he going to be chayv in mitzvahs after tchias hameisim? Of course he will be. So if he's buried in shatnez, he'll take him off when he gets off. There'll be someone selling suits when you come out of the basic varo, so they'll put on new suits with sinah shatnez. Akasha lemaisa. The whole discussion in the Gemara is b'shas mis itself is he chayv in mitzvah sinah. So the Rashba asks on himself, that sounds ridiculous. How can there be a day in the Gemara that says that a dead person is chayv in mitzvahs? It's mamash absurd. How could he possibly be chayv in mitzvahs? So the Rashba says, no, what it means is like this. There's a halacha that I'm not allowed to cause somebody to do an aveira, even if the person is not chayv in mitzvahs. It's not a mashma katan. So I'm not allowed to feed treifus to a katan. I'm not allowed to ask a katan to turn on a light for me in Shabbos. That's an issur d'oraisa. It's called machil b'yadayim. If I cause somebody to do an aveira, even though that person hasn't any mechuyv b'davar yet, so that's also min haTorah. That's the poskim that says the dibros lo saska malacha atov v'chavitecha. There's a voice from Reb Chaim that doesn't, to the best of my knowledge, doesn't appear in Reb Chaim in print, but it appears in the Achiezer. It appears in Reb Chaim Oizes Tshuvas that he said he heard it from Reb Chaim in Brisker. Reb Chaim held that when a person asks a katan to do an aveira for them, so that's considered to be like the aveira itself, in the sense of, if I ask a katan to be Mechal Shabbos, it's kilo I was Mechal Shabbos. I ask a katan to eat treif, so I feed him treif, it's kilo I ate treif. I give him shatnez to wear, it's kilo I wore shatnez. It's not just a din klali that I'm not allowed to be makshal him in aveiros, but each particular isser is considered to be like I violated that isser itself. That's the lomdus that's set out from the name of Reb Chaim. So at least in the realm of Shabbos, that's true. Maybe in other realms not, but at least in the realm of Shabbos, Reb Chaim held that by Shabbos, the halacha is when I ask a child to be Mechal Shabbos, so I'm considered to be Mechal Shabbos myself. So when I saw that shtickle Torah from Reb Chaim Oizen, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, So then I understood pshat in the story. There's a famous story about Reb Chaim that at first glance doesn't make any sense, but if you understand the Shtickle Torah, then it makes a lot of sense. So the story goes as follows, that there was once a Shabbos where the Erev fell down in Brisk. So you see from your Derech Agav that they had an Erev in Brisk. That's the first part of the story. So they had an Erev in Brisk, and what? For the ladies. So Reb Chaim, I didn't say that, he said it. So they had an Erev in Brisk. So they used to come. In all the cities in Europe, nobody had their own oven, so they would have one big oven, the baker's oven, and everyone would come and leave the children until Friday afternoon, and then they would come Shabbos morning, they'd bring up the children. So the Shabbos that the Erev broke, so Chaim felt an achrayus, as a rav in town, he felt an achrayus to sit by the baker's oven, and to tell all the women who would come to bring up the children that they can't carry the children, they have to eat the children in the oven when they're in the bakery. They can't carry their children. So a woman comes with her little daughter to come pick up the children, so Chaim tells you can't carry the children because the Erev fell down. So the woman says, no, it's okay, I'll have my daughter carry the children. So Reb Chaim says, no, you can't have your daughter, because the pasuk says, L'satzkom l'chatavich v'techa. So she said, come on, Rabbi, come on, the child's under 12, come on, what's the problem? So when the woman went ahead and told her daughter to carry the children home, so Reb Chaim sent the shamus back to the house to tell the woman's husband he should throw out all the wine in the house, because his wife had a dinner for Michal Shabbos for Hesia, and she traced up all the wine in the house. That's the way the story goes. So whether the story happened or not, I wasn't in Brisk at Shabbos, but what's the pshat of the story? So this is Reb Chaim L'shitasa. Because Reb Chaim, as quoted by Reb Chaim Moser, is saying that in the realm of Hilchos Shabbos at least, maybe not in other areas, but at least in the realm of Hilchos Shabbos, when you ask a katan through an aveira, that's ilu, you did the aveira itself, you did the aveira of Chilul Shabbos. So you're Michal Shabbos. What's the difference whether you did Los Asakom Alocha yourself, Ata, or Vincha Vitecha? It doesn't matter. If you cause a child to do Chilul Shabbos, you're Mamash and Michal Shabbos yourself. Anyway, that's the way the story goes. So getting back to this Rashba and Nida. The Rashba says that I'm not allowed to cause a child to wear shatnez. If I dress my child in a shatnez clothing, so I'm in violation of the machil and the adayim, the yisuf shatnez. So that's what the Amoraim are arguing about. Does that thing carry over to a mace as well? So one day the Gemara says that just as I'm not allowed to dress a child in shatnez, I'm not allowed to dress a mace in shatnez. That's called causing the mace to violate the yisuf shatnez. And the other day the Gemara says, nah, that's ridiculous, that's not true. That a katan is in theory going to become a mechuyav b'davar. A mace is over. A mace is pachah in a mitzvah. A mace is like a goy. I'm allowed to dress a goy in shatnez. He's bechal in the mitzvah shatnez. A katan is theoretically chayav in mitzvah. Just right now, the Torah gave him a p'tua until he turns by mitzvah. But a mace is mufka legamri from the mitzvah, and therefore I'm allowed to dress him in shatnez. But says the Rash for the Gemara wasn't even talking about the issue about the next world. What's going to be in the next world? Of course, there's going to be mitzvahs in the next world. If after they're going to be chayav in mitzvahs. Misa's not a point of the other one, Misa's only a point of B'Shas Misa itself. So it comes out, we have a major machlekes in the Gemara itself. Can you dress the mace in shatnez? And a machlekes Taisus and Rashba, what's the issue? What's going on? According to Taisus, it's some esoteric question about Tchias HaMeisim. Either the first thought of Rav Chanan is Tchias HaMeisim a tkufa of mitzvahs or not, or it's a question about the Gavra. Gavra experiences Tchias HaMeisim as a chayv in mitzvahs. According to the Rashba, that's not the issue. We missed the boat. According to the Rashba, the issue is, as a dead person included in the Yisr being Machal B'Yadayim?
If you're
going
to be Machal B'Yadayim, really
amazing, isn't it? Right. You mean maybe that's true for the Machal B'Yadayim? The Gemara? Maybe. There is one last question that all the Rishonim are bothered with in this Gemara. The Gemara seems to ignore another factor in this. The Gemara seems to assume that it's nothing wrong with dressing this guy in shatnez, except for the problem that maybe he's going to be chayav in mitzvahs at some point. Isn't there an issue what's called loed l'rosh? The Gemara says in Maseches Menachos that you, when you dress a mace, if you want to put a talus on a mace, you have to put a talus with kosher tzitzis on the mace. The Gemara says that beferish, because if you're going to put pasul tzitzis on the mace, that's going to be a loed l'rosh. That's like making fun of the mace. He no longer can perform mitzvahs. So either Rishon Rabbah or the Kasha, how come the din of loed l'rosh doesn't apply here? Why don't we say I'm not allowed to dress up this mace in shatnez? Because isn't that making fun of the mace? Even I'm saying he doesn't do mitzvahs anymore when he's dead. So the Rishonim have different answers to that. Maybe it's different mitzvahs. Shkul can't call it mitzvahs. A lot of lumdas as to what the answer is. But the mice said there's some answer to that problem.
Wasn't the Gemara
Sure. No, no, laptop. You know, if you hold you're allowed to use tachrichim for shatnez. You can use even all the time. So even though the Gemara says beferish in Maseches Menachos that when you bury a mace with a talus, so you have to have kosher tzitzis on, beferish in the Gemara, because otherwise it would be a problem of loy l'rosh. So Taisus already points out that that's not what that minig is. Taisus points out that the minig in the Ashkenazi community is dafka not to do that, that we dafka put on the talis, that we dafka parcel the tzitzis, rather than burn the mason and kosher tzitzis. So Taisus throws the hands up. Where did this come from? What's pshat? How can it be the commercial of the Farish that the Yimchuf daf kosher tzitzis, not parcel tzitzis? So Taisus suggests that maybe their answer is as follows. Maybe this man is there. Not everybody is so machpe in tzitzis when they're alive. So if you're going to bury a guy in kosher tzitzis afterwards, so people are going to say, ah, listen, what a joke this is, that when he was alive, he never wore tzitzis. Now all of a sudden he's wearing tzitzis, so that'll be a bigger loyal rush. So Tosha says, what are you going to do? You're going to start to weigh each person and say, give a tzitzis check after he dies. So if you wore tzitzis b'chayim, then you're burying the kosher tzitzis. And if not, in posel tzitzis, Tosha says, that'll be a big busha. So Tosha says, lays barriers, since not everyone's so makbar in tzitzis was man as that. So never, we have no choice, we have to posel the tzitzis. That's Tosha suggests as one answer. Then Tosha suggests another somewhat more radical answer. Taisa says that maybe we don't possibly like this Gemara. But maybe in Achanami, Medina the Gemara, you have to bury a person in Kosher Tzitzis. It's an Issa Gomer to possibly that Tzitzis on Tzloy Larash. But maybe we don't follow this Gemara. Or maybe we don't follow the Gemara. It's not like that. So Taisa dug up that there's another Mokhan. There's a Masech HaSmachos. Masech HaSmachos is a group of Brises that were compiled by the Tanoim. Sometimes the Gemara quotes, sometimes the Gemara doesn't quote. So it says in Masech HaSmachos that you're supposed to possibly the Tzitzis. You're not supposed to be buried in Kosher Tzitzis. So Taisa says the Minig is like the Masech HaSmachos. It's Takapella. Why should you follow Masech HaSmachos? Guess what it says in the Gemara. So whatever it is, that's what the Minig is, at least in Chutz La'aretz. And so it's different, but in the Minig in Chutz La'aretz and Ashkenazi communities, that they have to bury the people in Pasul Tzitzis. There was a famous mice about the Gra, that the Gra didn't want to follow this Minig. He felt it was Shalek Yedid, it was against the Gemara. So he gave apparently orders to one of his Tamidim that when he dies, so they should be Masada, he should be buried in the Kosher Talos with Kosher Tzitzis. The Kitzer, he buried, the Gra was Niftar at Cholam HaTzukas, and the Talmud wasn't around, but his mom, whatever it was, and the Grove was buried like everybody else. So the kindness minig of the Ramah and the Balei Taisus, even though it's somewhat of a strange thing. So Chopanim, you see a little bit from this Gemara that even though we usually associate life with mitzvahs, doesn't necessarily mean after life is over, mitzvahs are going to be over necessarily. According to Taisus, that's good for Machlokes, and according to the Rashba, it comes out that everybody agrees that the mitzvah is still going to be in August. But so hopefully we made a bit, a little bit of a siyum on some of the sugars of Chaim and Mavis. Hopefully we still have a lot of time.
Right.
Thank you very much. Good. Good.
Okay.
The topic's ready for next year.
For
Shabbos. For Shabbos, that should be easy to find.
So what? You can't tell someone to do in the beer for you, like that if you're doing it. So what if you hold something?